We're expecting a lot more from Juventus tonight, and I know a man who is also expecting the old lady to do a lot better on home soil. He's a man who is fantastic when it comes to not only writing, but also coming on this show and having a chat with us. He is somebody who we always like to have a bit back and forth with on Twitter and everywhere else. And he's a man who I am not looking forward to talking to as much as I normally would, but I still can't wait to get him on the show. He's Mr. Giancarlo Rinaldi joining us here on World Football Daily. Giancarlo, mate, it's a pleasure to have you on board, I guess. I've not been looking forward to this moment, I have to say, since the weekend.
I think this is taking professionalism above and beyond the call of duty to actually put yourself in the firing line. I'll try to make it as painless as possible for you, not gloat too much or go over old wounds too much to cause you too much pain.
I appreciate that, man. I really do. Especially as in the week I sent you that message saying, hope we don't chat this week. And then immediately, Rafa, I get a message from him saying, hey, we've got Giancarlo on Tuesday. I was like, oh, I feel like such a muppet now. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, mate. It really is. Look, let's get it out of the way so we can be friends after the next few minutes or so. Let's talk about that AC Milan-Fiorentina result in the San Siro. Fiorentina getting that 2-0 win. And really, for the majority of that game, I hate to say it, outplaying the Rossoneri. It was a great performance, but was it a great performance by Fiorentina, or was it a bad performance by Milan, or was it a bit both?
I think the last option, I think there was a bit of both in there. I mean, I actually thought that Fiorentina played better midweek against Napoli and got beat than they did to beat Milan in the San Siro. Now, that might be a way of insulting Milan, but I did think the football that they played against Napoli at times was more impressive, but they did let themselves down at the back. There were a couple of slip-ups where Napoli were really very clinical in their finish. I mean, two nice goals that Napoli scored. Fiorentina missing Gonzalo Rodriguez, I think, at the back, who had a few affectionate embraces with Mr. Balotelli during the game at the San Siro. But I mean, I thought Milan did actually try to show some spirit at the start of the second half after they'd slipped behind, but it did fade away pretty quickly. And when Fiorentina got a second goal, the lights really went out at the San Siro. I mean, we had Galliani sort of stomping off, and then subsequent to that, I think all the other stuff has come out about Berlusconi Junior phoning Berlusconi Senior to say this will not do, and it does. I mean, not to turn the knife too much, but it does have a certain ironic air quality to the whole thing. That last season, of course, Milan pinched that last Champions League place off Fiorentina, and now it's turned out to be Fiorentina who've plunged Milan into crisis. And I did tweet earlier in the week asking Milan fans if maybe it would have been better for them to miss out on that Champions League place last season and start the process of change in the summer, rather than get to this stage of this season and now be sort of contemplating a complete overhaul of the whole club structure. I mean, to be fair to Milan fans, the answer, I think, was narrowly no, that they wanted the money coming in from the Champions League. But there were a few fans who thought, well, maybe, you know, that qualification masked a lot of deeper problems at the club, which you know really need to be addressed if Milan are to return to be in the force that they once were.
But do you think Milan would have done that had they not got that Champions League spot? Do you think, had they been in the Europa League or even missed out on Europe completely, that there would have been enough incentive for a radical change at the club, and really a radical change that's been needed, as you say and many others have said, for a bit of time now? It's been coming, this collapse.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe not. I mean, it's possibly not, you know, that I suppose they could have looked upon it as a near miss, because, I mean, remember, they started last season just as badly as this season, but then they had that amazing recovery, which, you know, I suppose if they'd come within a whisker of getting the Champions League spot, they could have looked and said, well, look, our form is good. And I do think, you know, it does make a difference that, you know, the nation of Italy has changed a lot in 20 or 25 years, and Silvio Berlusconi's position has changed quite a lot in that time as well. And, you know, I think he's got other distractions now. There's also not the money swilling around that there once was, and so, you know, maybe they wouldn't have been able to start a revolution. But I think there is, you know, there was a need for change at the club. There is a need for change at the club, and then the way they tried to do things, because they can't go out and buy the best players in Europe anymore, and the kind of sort of ad hoc transfer policy that they've been adopting, you know, an opportunistic approach. It can work sometimes. You do get, you know, you can get bargains in the transfer market. You can get players that can make a big difference. But a lot of the time, you know, you end up kind of patching together what's available. And I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything amazing when I say that the Matri signing really smacked of being the clincher in that regard. You know, it was a forward who was available, and they did need somebody to possibly replace Pazzini, but it looked like a bad and rushed piece of business, and Milan's had too many of those over the last few seasons.
It's difficult to listen to these home truths here, Giancarlo. with this Milan side, you mentioned the second half performance picked up slightly just after the interval, and that was all surrounding, I felt, Mario Balotelli, who obviously had his phony injury, maybe not, maybe he was hurt, I don't know, but it came off, it looked like Matri was going to be coming on, then Balotelli came out for the second half, had a renewed vigour, but it very much seems, a Kaká aside, who seems to have picked up and started to run with things quite well at Milan since returning, it's very much all based around, if Balotelli gets his head in gear, this side starts moving. When he doesn't, everything seems very static. It's quite dangerous to be so reliant on a player so, I guess, uncool under pressure.
Well, it's true. I mean, and then, you know, I think even the greatest players in the world don't play brilliantly for 90 minutes every single game. So, you know, to put that pressure on him, I mean, he did manage it last season. He largely carried Milan to that Champions League spot single-handed. And maybe this season, you know, with the best will in the world, they must be looking around the pitch sometimes and think, well, if I don't do it, who else is going to do it? You know, I mean, there isn't a lot of quality in the squad. And, you know, as you say, Kaká's come back and he certainly worked hard and he scored one cracking goal. But, you know, I think there is a lack of true world-class performers through the team, and that, you know, that puts more pressure on him. And you're right, then if Balotelli doesn't produce a moment of brilliance, and, you know, he seems to be going through a bad spell in that regard right now, so then the team's left with, you know, just a bunch of, I mean, good players. They should be further up the league than they are. The squad's still good enough to be the top half of the table, but they're not world beaters, and there's not really, the biggest thing I think is that there doesn't seem to be a project there. There doesn't seem to be a plan to, you know, if you'd asked anybody, even outsiders in the summer, what do Milan need to improve this team, I think they would have all said that, you know, going forward they're pretty good. You know, once they get El Shaarawy back, they've got a strike force that's as good as anything in Serie A. The midfield is not bad, but it's the defence that's crying out for assists. But they've not really done that. I know they've got some players coming in, hopefully in January, that, you know, if they come in, then that can help out a bit in midfield and defence. But it's still not, you know, it's still not brilliant. And it just, as I say, it just smacks of being done short term. I mean, it shouldn't sound, though, like I'm not gloating as a Fiorentina fan, because we got it wrong plenty of times. I mean, it was only a couple of seasons ago that Fiorentina were in complete meltdown in this regard. And, you know, there was all the off-the-field antics, really, that were taking centre of attention. And, you know, but for a twist of good results at the end of the season, it could easily have ended up in Serie B. You remember Delio Rossi punching Adam Ljajic and all sorts of shenanigans going on. So, you know, I'm not really preaching from it. I mean, it's nice that Fiorentina are playing well now and do seem to have a clear plan of where the club's going, but it was only it was only a couple of seasons ago that, you know, they were in disarray. So, you know, I think that it's easy enough for a big club like Milan to turn the corner if they do get all the right elements in place. But just now, a lot of those elements seem to be missing.
You mentioned Gonzalo and having him back in the Fiorentina defence was important. But what have you made of Stefan Savic, a chap who never really got given much credit at Manchester City, but Fiorentina is very much doing the business. How have you rated his start to Serie A and his side's back four?
I've been impressed. I mean, still it has the odd moment where he loses his man and you know doesn't pay as much attention as I would like. But I mean, I think if you look at the deal that brought him from Manchester City, you know, and there's no doubt Nastasic is a better player. But when you're looking at a significant amount of cash and a good young defender, then I think it was a deal that Fiorentina couldn't refuse. And I mean, they went back to that well in the summer and got another 20-odd million for Stefan Jovetic, who's barely kicked a ball for Manchester City. You know, so the deal made sense from Fiorentina's point of view. And he slotted in pretty well. I mean, I think you've got, in that defence, you've got one class act in Gonzalo Rodriguez, and then you've got three or four decent performers who can all slot in and out. You've got Savic, you've got Tomovic, you've got Facundo Roncaglia, and even Marvin Comper, when he's come into the team, has slotted in pretty well. So, you know, you do have some fairly solid operators there. Of course, you've got Pasquale to come in at left back if they play four at the back as well, who's, you know, got back into the Italy setup. So, I mean, it's not the greatest defence in the world. It still sometimes gives me heart failure, especially when they do that thing of passing out from the back, where the ball goes to Pizarro and he tries to beat a man who's breathing down his neck. It's for somebody who's grown up on Scottish football, the first thing you think is just hoof it into the stands, you know, get rid of the ball.
If in doubt, hoof it out.
Exactly. That's the sort of bedrock of Scottish football. But the, you know, to see them play it out from the back. But when they've got Gonzalo in the team, though, you know, that becomes much more of a possibility, because he's effectively another playmaker you've got there at the back. He's so good with his feet that he can bring the ball out, and that then gives Pizarro another outlet. If he needs to go back, he knows he can give it to him and still be setting up an attack. You know, so that's been, you know, I think the midfield, although Giuseppe Rossi's stolen headlines with a lot of goals, I think the midfield at Fiorentina really is what makes the team tick. And a player like Borja Valero has been a revelation to me, certainly. You know, I mean, I knew of him before he signed for Fiorentina, but I really didn't know that he was this good or that he would settle in this well and make such a difference. He really makes the team tick, and that he should get. He seems to have a special dislike of Milan, because he scored in the San Siro last year as well. So you know, he's certainly slotted in well. And you know, I think these are the kind of players maybe that Milan should be looking at, not necessarily coming to take them off Fiorentina, although they might try to do that. But I think there are maybe players around Europe that can be picked up, you know, without spending huge sums of money, because Milan don't have huge sums of money to spend, who can still make a difference, especially in Serie A. I think we've seen that with numerous players who've been bought in and maybe weren't, you know, world beaters in the league they were in, but are able to come to Serie A and do a pretty decent job.
Moving away, Giancarlo, from
we should
from the San Siro.
You've suffered enough.
We'll talk in a few months, maybe after this. Don't
worry. Absolutely.
No, let's move to the big fixture for this evening, and Juventus taking on Real Madrid, 2 points from their first three games, third in the group. It's not going to plan right now. Are we at must-win stage yet? Conte has described it as three cup finals, and you can't draw a cup final.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that, I mean, I have read and I've seen, I think there is a way that Juventus could conceivably lose this game and still get through by winning their last two. You know, it's not impossible. The results are not quite set up that it would be, although then they would probably be relying on Real Madrid doing them a favour, which I wouldn't necessarily think was guaranteed. So, you know, I do think they really need to get something. I mean, even a point, I think, could build a bit of confidence. It's been a poor start to the group stage, but I mean they did that last year and managed to make their way through. So it really is it's not quite a must win, but it's getting pretty close to one tonight, and it's going to take everything they've got, I think, to come away with the 3 points.
And it wasn't the most convincing performance, obviously, against Madrid in that first game a couple of weeks ago, but against Parma as well, it took a scrappy goal. I mean, Conte's warned about complacency. Do you think it's complacency, or is it just a side that's maybe had one too many influential players brought in and it's trying to readjust once again?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's bound to be. I saw a couple of players interviewed, big names from the past, saying exactly that. That sort of subconsciously, even though, you know, outwardly you think you're doing everything exactly the same, and you think that, you know, your determination, your focus is exactly what it was, that there can be a bit of subconscious complacency comes into play. I don't think any of the players go out there thinking, oh, you know, this is a formality, we'll wipe the floor with Parma or whatever. But I think maybe underneath, because in the past they've managed to get out of jail on occasions and they, you know, win games where they looked like they were going to lose, they think that's going to happen every time, and when it doesn't, it's a bit of a shock to the system. I mean, I think they've got enough. I thought on the first game, not a great display, but I thought they showed that. I mean, I think Real Madrid do give you chances to score goals. Generally, the downside to that is that they're able to create infinitely more chances than you do. But, you know, I think if Juve can keep a sort of good tactical discipline, then they do have the players capable of hurting Real. And you know, don't sort of discount the effect that the Juventus stadium, presumably a sellout tonight, and, you know, ready to create a good atmosphere for them. If they can get an early goal, then that can really carry them on a tide of emotion. But it is a tough situation, and it is a big ask for them to come up with. I'm sure that when Conte was planning this campaign, he didn't think, I'm going to want to leave myself needing to get points off Real Madrid to get through. Certainly not to, you know, to have to beat them. But that's the position they find themselves in. And I think, to me, I've likened it to a sort of graduation ceremony for Juve. They've shown a couple of times now that they're far and away the best in Italy. I mean, you could debate whether they are this season, but now they need to really deliver a performance that shows they can be one of the best in Europe. And you know, tonight would be the night to do that. And I'm sure that, you know, their fans would be desperate to see them really deliver a European performance that matches up to what they've delivered in Serie A recently.
What about elsewhere around Europe? Because obviously Napoli in this very tense group in Group F with Borussia Dortmund, Arsenal and Marseille. The Marseille game, is that more of a must-win, considering that they have to pick up the points against Marseille because they're almost like the guaranteed points in this group to get through?
Well, yeah, I mean, it has panned out that way. I didn't necessarily expect it to be that way, but it does look that way. And There is undoubtedly pressure on there again, but I mean, I think that the first time they played, they showed again that they have got enough. They are a better team. I don't want to curse them, but they would let themselves down and not take the 3 points from Marseille. I think all round, Napoli are the better side, and you know, they should be confident of going into that game and getting the 3 points. Then, you know, after that, they might still need to pinch something somewhere else. That could be a tougher ask, because, you know, certainly the Arsenal game was one where they they did look significantly out of their depth. They really struggled in that match, and so that, you know, they wouldn't want to be not having the 3 points in the bag, I think, from the game with Marseille. That would really complicate things for them if they were to do anything other than win that match.
It's going to be tense for the Italian sides, that's for sure, Giancarlo, especially for Napoli and for Juventus. I'm still thinking Milan have got enough to get through that Group H with Celtic and Ajax behind them, but I don't think it's going to be a very profitable Champions League season for them. But we've already berated them enough for me today, I think, Giancarlo.
Yeah, but, absolutely, absolutely.
We really appreciate you coming on and having a chat with us today, Giancarlo. Always enjoy it. And despite however fearful I was, it hasn't been half as bad as it could have been, that's for sure. We really appreciate you taking the time out, mate, and we look forward to catching up with you very much in the near future.
We'll do. Look forward to it.
Cheers, mate. Thank you so much
indeed. No problem at all.
Giancarlo Rinaldi joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Italian football. You can find Giancarlo's work, of course, over at GazzettaFootballItalia.net and elsewhere around the internet. Giancarlo, of course, more than happy to tell me exactly what went wrong for AC Milan on the weekend. Juventus didn't put in a stellar performance against Parma. They have this big game tonight.